So compared to recent readings, and we've had a run of them, it would seem on first glance that this evening's offerings from Scripture were pretty much trouble-free. They're about faith, mainly. I nearly preached on faith, the faith of Abraham, later to be called Abraham, who in our reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Genesis, ups sticks, as we say, and follows a word from God and leaves behind home, friends, and family, apart from those who come with him, for a place he knows not where. Then the author of the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know who that was. The book has never been ascribed to any individual. All we know is that it was written to one of the early proto-Christian communities in Jerusalem. This anonymous author refers to Abraham, now with a preferred name, for all those who seem to think that dead naming is in any way Christian. We can discuss that at length anytime you want, but not here. Abraham is held up as an example of faith for hearing the word of God and being willing to go because he trusted God's promise, even though he had no idea what would happen, just that he would inherit a new land. Which is where it gets tricky. As we heard in the passage from Genesis, the land was not empty. It had Canaanites in it, which is understandable as the land was called Canaan. So here we do bump into something quite uncomfortable. Is God into giving people land at the expense of others? Is God the arch colonizer, displacing one group of people in favor of a preferred group? And of course, that's how many have interpreted such stories. God has chosen us, say, well-armed, usually white people, to take, in quote marks with much eye-rolling, civilization to the world. So let's take this land and its resources from the people who are here, who are obviously savages and need education, even as we settle here, oppress them, and squish them into small patches of land. But actually, that's not quite what happened with Abraham. Yes, we do have a story that seems to suggest a certain land was being given to Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. But remember, this story was written hundreds, if not 1,000 years after any of this is meant to have happened. And it's definitely a case of working backwards to justify a certain state of being, rather than it being a declaration made before it all happened. In fact, evidence seems to show that despite the dramatic myths we have in our Hebrew scriptures, the exodus from Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, crossing the Jordan River dry, as it dried up, city walls crumbling, conquering various nations, as we heard in this evening's psalm, the Amorites, the Bashanites, the kingdoms of Canaan, there's actually very little chance, if any chance, that any of it actually happened. It seems, certainly from archaeological and other evidence, that the tribe we call in hindsight the people of Israel, the Hebrews or the Jews, was a tribal group that grew up along with the Canaanites and with the Bashanites and with the Amorites. But they became the dominant cultural group over many generations. We read in later stories from the Hebrew scriptures the fluid nature of what we now call Israel, or as it was known, Judah, Israel, and Palestine at various names at different times. There were other groups who obviously still lived there. They had different ways of living and worshipping, and sometimes were hostile and sometimes friendly with the Israelites. These stories we read of the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Hebrew tradition are origin stories, trying to read back to some kind of backstory to explain why Israel is who it is, why they have this responsibility of being the chosen people, and why they are called to faithful living as those under divine law. The problems arose when our forebears in the Christian faith decided that these stories weren't myths, as our Hebrew siblings would think of them, but historical accounts, factual accounts of how Israel was formed. And that problem still exists today with an overly literalistic reading of our, or indeed any, scriptures. Middle Church in New York, a progressive church in New York City, tweeted today that Christianity will not be liberated until our scriptures are liberated. And that's a great quote. For until we stop justifying the oppression of others by reading into ancient texts as historical fact, or trying to impose today's standards today that were held in tribal societies 5 or 6 or 2,000 years ago, then we are going to be trapped in a prehistorical, inflexible, uninformed, and frankly often dangerous worldview. We have work to do in educating ourselves and those around us in how to read our scriptures with discernment, wisdom, and compassion, learning to take that which is ancient wisdom for today and leaving behind those things which are harmful, exclusive, and destructive. Pray God it may be so. Amen.